On the night before he was assassinated, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. preached his now very famous "I've been to the mountain" speech. This speech is considered by many to have been one of the 10 best orations of all time. At the very end of this speech, Dr. King referred to threats he had received against his life. Then he said this, "I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land." Actually, Dr. King said, "I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." I wonder how many of you have seen Dr. King give that speech. Either the original on April 3rd, 1968, or on the internet in our own time. His face was shining, glowing with the glory of the coming of the Lord. In Dr. King's thought world, on the mountaintop is where we meet God. On the mountaintop is where we get a glimpse of what will be, both what will be in this world and what will be in the next. This is the glory of the coming of the Lord, to which Dr. King refers, this changed reality that God brings to pass. Of course, Dr. King did not dream up the on-the-mountain thought world on his own. As a student of the Bible and a minister of God's Word, Dr. King knew that throughout history, on the mountaintop is where people who are God's change agents get transformed. On the mountaintop is where we can see God, the God who inspires all positive change, all good, all justice. On the mountaintop is where we meet God and where we learn what God would have us do to bring God's kingdom into reality in our world. Dr. King knew that Moses had met God on Mount Sinai, as we read in today's Old Testament lesson. Dr. King also knew that in Deuteronomy chapter 34, Moses climbed up another mountain, Mount Nebo, where God showed him the land that he had promised to give God's people. Dr. King knew that over and over and over again, Moses had gotten to do what is very rare in the Bible. Moses had gotten to see God. That experience changed Moses. In our lesson today, it says that Moses came down Mount Sinai with his face shining, hugging the Ten Commandments that God had given him for the people. This was Moses' second trip down the mountain with the Ten Commandments. The first time Moses brought the law to the people, what he found at the bottom of the mountain had been a real mess. What he found at the bottom of the mountain had been a golden calf that his people had made and were worshiping instead of worshiping God. Moses had thrown a fit, had broken the tablets that contained the Ten Commandments, and he had had to go back up the mountain and get another set from God. Did you notice that the people didn't go up the mountain? Earlier in Exodus, we learned that God had appointed 70 elders to go with Moses. They were afraid, and they stayed at the bottom of the mountain. Our gospel lesson today tells us that Jesus went up on the mountaintop. But unlike Moses, Jesus didn't go alone. Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him, the inner circle of the apostles, the vestry wardens, so to speak, Jesus' revisioning leaders. I don't know what you think happened to Jesus on that mountain, but I think that Jesus met God there, saw God there, This is because Jesus' face changed, just like Moses' face had changed. Somehow Moses and Elijah were there with Jesus. We don't know how this could be. Can't explain this rationally. But the three of them were discussing Jesus' departure. The Greek word here means exodus. So Jesus and Moses and Elijah were discussing how Jesus would accomplish a new exodus. Up until Jesus accomplished his exodus in Jerusalem, the exodus from Egypt had been God's biggest saving act in human history. And now Jesus was on the mountain with God and with those others, learning about God's plan for how Jesus would bring a whole new reality into existence. So what happened to Peter, James, and John on the mountain? Did they see God's face? Our lesson says, no, they didn't. But they did get to see the glory of the Lord on Jesus' face, and they even heard God's voice, the voice that told them in very clear terms that Jesus was God's Son, and that they should listen to him. Just in case we missed Luke's point in telling us about Jesus' mountaintop experience, that Jesus is God's ultimate change agent. Luke tells us what happened when Jesus and the gang came down from the mountain. They found a great human mess at the bottom of the hill, a seriously ill child, followers of Jesus unable to heal the boy, and the boy's very upset father. Jesus healed them all. And then he healed everything with his new exodus. Now for those of you who have not yet been on the mountaintop, I need to tell you that for us, there usually is no physical mountain climbing involved. Today, on the mountaintop is a metaphor for what happens when we spend time alone with God, as Moses and Jesus did on their respective actual mountaintops. For us, the mountaintop is where we get transformed, and this transformation shows on our person, especially on our face, which shines with God's light. The painter Raphael painted today's gospel lesson, by the way. His painting is shown on the front of today's bulletin. What I really like about this painting is that Raphael includes the whole scene. Jesus on the mountaintop. The glory of the Lord shining round about Jesus. The cowering apostles on the top of the mountain. And the broken world down below. Notice that the mountain is not very high. God is very near us, even when we are in the midst of the mess we often make of our lives. And in the middle of that broken world, in the chaos of the crowd, in Raphael's painting, there are two figures pointing up to Jesus. This is a reminder to me that no matter how broken our world seems, how insurmountable our situation can sometimes seem, the answer is always up there on that hill with God. What brokenness requires is mustering our courage, climbing up there, and spending time alone with God. God always shows us the way and makes our faces shine in the process. My prayer for this Church of the Resurrection, for our revisioning year, is that you each spend so much time alone with God that your faces shine with God's glory. I know that when you come down from the mountain, you'll still see the mess that we have to face right here in our very midst. But I'm not worried about that. You see, we as a people will get to our promised land. I'm not worried about anything. I just pray that our eyes will have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord and that God will make us His change agents. I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.